You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have been truly blessed this morning by the presence of God. He's so good. I need to tell you guys, in the last song, where's JP? Jonah's like, I don't want that song. I want him to sing, our God is a great big God. And as she did that, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me that he wants us to speak with God in the language that we have. You know, little Joanna only know a few songs, and at the moment she keeps singing, our God is a great big God, all the time. But that's her language with God, and we all have different ways of communicating with God. But he wants us to communicate with him, with the language, with the way that we can. Since we started this church, CLC Lambs, we talked about what the culture that we want to build up, how we want the churches to look like. I remember sitting down with Ken and Leslie, and we say, like, how are we going to do? How's it going to be? How's it going to feel like? And one of the things that God continued to speak to us, we want to make so much space for his presence. We want to make so much space to worship. And we do Sunday after Sunday, we make that space because we think that is in that space that he touches us, that we are transformed. And then we also said, but we are not people just of the presence, we are also people of the word. So we said, we need to make lots of space for the word because it's the truth that we have of God, the knowledge that we have of him that can change our mindsets. Our experience that we have with God cannot hold us our whole lives. But God changing our mindsets can sustain us to have a faithful love to him. Mark was sharing about spiritual gifts, and we were talking about this as a group the other night. And as I was preparing this word, my prayer is like, Holy Spirit, take over. You speak. Use me. And I wrote a message today that God has been land on my heart. But my prayer is that it's not me speaking, but he takes over. Every time I come here, I say, I'm going to do like those Pentecostal preachers and declare this and this, and I get all shy. But today, I really believe God has something special for us. And I want to declare and I want to bless you with this word. But as I speak, that you take that to your heart, so you can live that in your life. So if you can open up your Bible with me in Exodus 27. Exodus 27, 20 to 21. Exodus 27, 20, 21, it says, you are to command the Israelites to bring you pure oil from crushed olives for the light, in order to keep the lamp burning regularly. In the tent of meeting outside the curtain that is in front of the testimony, Aaron and his sons are to tend the lamp from evening until morning before the Lord. This, it should be a permanent statute from the Israelites throughout our generation. So this is a passage that the Lord has had on my heart for some time. And we're going to be sharing this image of this light, this lamp that had to be burning regularly. So this comes from the instructions God gave to the people of Israel to build the tabernacle. So the people had been set free from Egypt, and they were in their journey to the promised land. They were told to build the tabernacle, like a sanctuary, according to everything that God showed Moses. So they were to make a sanctuary for God so that they would dwell, so God would dwell among them, as we read in Exodus 25. God had rescued the people of Israel from Egypt in order to set them apart as his own people, to take them as his people, and for God to be their God, as he says in Exodus 6. So God was separating a people for himself. But here in Exodus 27, the passage we just read is something deeper. God did not just want to separate his people and teach them how to live different from the world around them. He wanted to come close to them. God desired proximity. God desired intimacy with his people. Today, I want to suggest that the oil represents the presence of God in our lives, the very thing that keeps the fire burning. And that fire was not meant to flicker occasionally. It was meant to burn continually. And the presence of God is meant to be in our lives continually. If you're here today, chances are that God has already set you apart from himself. You may have accepted Jesus as your savior. You may be following him. And you're likely seeking to live a life different from the one you lived before. You are pursuing a life that turns away from sin and follow God's word. You may be pursuing what we call sanctification. Some of you may have been Christians for many years. Perhaps you have come a long way on that journey. Maybe your attitudes, your priorities, your lifestyle may look very different from what they once were. You may serve the church, serve others, and strive to do the right things. But today, I want to remind us of something important. God is not only looking for right behavior. He desires closeness. He desires relationship. He desires intimacy with us. And today, you and I, we need to understand that intimacy with God is greater than simply living a life of outward sanctification. If we're taking notes, the title of my message today is Keep the Lamp Burning, so a life of intimacy with God. I want to pray. So, Father God, I pray that as we talk about being close to you, about being intimate with you, about living a life of proximity with you, God, I pray that you open our minds and open our hearts to how you want to be in our lives, be the center. Oh God, that you want to be everything, that you are a zealous God. And we want to know you more, Lord. We want to engage with you in our day today. I pray that I can speak with words that are clear. I pray that you take off any barrier in communication this morning, oh God. I pray that your spirit is free to speak to us. God, we are so thankful for your presence. We are aware of your presence, oh God, and we make space for you to speak this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I once heard a lovely story about Queen Elizabeth. One day, Queen Elizabeth II was walking in Balmoral Castle in Scotland with her protection officer. His name was Richard Griffin. So as they walk along the path, they came across two American hikers. And the Queen, as she often did, she stopped to say hello. It quickly became clear that these hikers had no idea who she was. So they started chatting about where they're from, the places they visit, in Britain. So eventually, one of the men asked her where she lived. So she replied casually, "Well, I live in London, but I have a holiday home just on the other side of the hills." So the hiker then asked how long she had been coming to the area, and the Queen smiled and said she had been visiting Balmoral for more than 80 years. So surprised, the man said, "Wow, if you've been coming here that long, have you ever met the Queen?" So without missing a beat, she replied, "Well, I haven't, but Dick here meets her regularly," pointing to her protection officer. So the hiker immediately turned to him and asked, "Oh, really? What's she like?" So Griffin decided to play along, and he said, "Well, she can be a little cantankerous at times, but she's got a wonderful sense of humor. So the American guy was fascinated. So he puts his arm around Griffin, pull out his camera and ask the queen if she would mind take a picture of them together. So the queen herself took the photo. So then Griffin said, let's swap places. And the hikers politely said yes. He stood with the queen and Griffin took a photo of them together with her. Still, they didn't realize who she was. So they all waved goodbye and went their separate ways. As they walked away, the queen turned to Griffin and said, she'd love to be a fly on the wall when that man showed the photograph to his friends back in America. You know, these two hikers in the story, they were in the presence of someone that is remarkable. Well, she was such an important person. The girls have a book about their life and they love reading again and again. And they were there in the presence of this amazing lady and they completely missed it. They knew about the queen. They had probably seen pictures of her before. But because they lack proximity, they lack knowledge and intimacy with her, they completely missed how special that encounter really was. And I wonder how many of us come to church every Sunday in close proximity to God, but still miss the specialness of encountering Him. We may be missing the opportunity to see, to experience God's glory, because we struggle to recognize Him. We can't quite know when He's speaking or He's not, His voice, His words, His intentions, His heart. So today, God is calling us to something deeper. He's calling us to come closer, to go deeper, to see Him, to know Him. And as I was preparing, I was thinking, what does it look like to know someone? So I started to think about how relationships develop. On Friday, I met with Mabel and some of other ladies from church, and they all asked me how I met Jason. And I have had this question quite often recently. But you know, relationships, they in the beginning, there's a lot of curiosity. You start by asking questions to know a little bit more about that person. Jason talks a lot, and he has really deep questions. So our first encounters were not small conversations, guys. They were deep conversations. But there's a desire for proximity when you just meet someone, but you know, maybe you start with questions like, what do you do and what is this? And they may tell you a story and you want to know more and more. You have that curiosity to know someone. As we spend a bit more time with that person and have dates, time together, activities together, the relationship starts to change. And then you are able to recognize them. You know, when Jason and I started dating, long months after we met, if I took a phone and he said hello, I would recognize his voice. I knew, oh, that's Jason. The way that they speak, their expressions, their presence, maybe their smell, like maybe you can notice, or Jason's a teacher, so he used noisy shoes. So when he comes home and we all know, oh, that's Jason coming in. And over time, we start to understand their character and their heart. So I can now say, Jason tells me a story, I can tell to him, oh, this is not very you, because I know his character and I know his heart. And the more time you spend with someone, you then start to love them. You know, I think love, there's a lot to do with spending time together and knowing that person. All their bits, you start to love them fully. And eventually, you even start to become alike. I now say things that it's definitely the way that the girls speak, that Jason speak, my mom speak. You become alike the people you have relationship with. And when you go even deeper in a relationship, your purposes start to align too. You know, you start to have a vision that's very similar. You start to agree on things without realizing with time and time and time together. And I'm just in the end of Exodus at the moment, just going a bit deeper in Exodus. And I'm quite fascinated by Moses and his life. And I think he experienced an intimate relationship with God. He was very intimate with God. In the book of Exodus, we see that the people of Israel experience God in incredible ways. I don't know if you guys heard, but there is a cartoon called Superbook that the girls love to watch. And there's a boy, a girl, and a robot, and they go inside of Bible stories, biblical stories. And one day, they were talking with each other and saying, what do you think was the best adventure that we've been so far? Going to the old stories that God took us. And then the Superbook, the Bible, take them to Exodus, to like God rescue people from Israel. You know, all the wonders, the signs, the miracles, all that God did, he opened the sea. That was one of the biggest adventures of the Bible. The people of Israel saw of that, experience of that. They saw the power. They saw the glory of God displaying before them. And they wanted God as their God. They wanted the miracles. They wanted the provision. But as you read the story, you also see how many times they were so willing to sacrifice their relationship with God, to exchange him for something else, to not have intimacy with him. And in the middle of that story, there is one man who experienced something deeper. That man was Moses. Knowing God intimately completely transformed Moses' life. So I want us to look a little bit about Moses' journey in Exodus. So his first encounter with God happens in the story of the burning bush. And that's a very famous story, isn't it? And we're going to be open Exodus going in and out few passages. So if you want to have Exodus open, we're going to go to Exodus 3. Exodus 3, let's start verse 1. And that says, meanwhile, Moses was shepherding the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire within a bush. As Moses looked, he saw that the bush was on fire, but was not consumed. So Moses thought, I must go over and look at this remarkable sight. Why isn't the bush burning up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And I love this part of the story, that God only spoke to Moses after Moses noticed the bush. So Moses noticed the bush, think, this is very odd. Why is this, the bush burning up? And then he go over to look. And the Bible says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. You know, I think relationships, it starts with curiosity. And it's the same with our relationship with God. We need to be curious. We need to notice what is God is trying to speak. Here at the church, we always give space for people to share words and bring. And as part of that, you are open up your ears and being curious. What is God speaking? What is God doing? What is happening? I'm reading my Bible, trying to find God. I'm reading this, trying to understand him. And that was it. Moses first became curious about God during the encounter with the burning bush. And it was in that moment of curiosity, of wanting to know what it was, that God began revealing himself, showing Moses who he was. Then what happened next in this story is that God says to him, do not come closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he continued, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses then hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So then Moses was curious. He went there to have a look. God speaks to him. And then God starts to reveal a little bit about himself. Say, oh, actually, you need to take off your sandals because holy, it's a holy place. And then he said, I'm the God of Jacob, Abraham, and Isaac. So he was revealing himself. You know, when you first meet someone in a relationship, they may start telling stories about their childhood. They may start telling you about, oh, when I was school, this happened. All of those information help you make a picture, form a picture of who that person is. This was God was doing with Moses. He was drawing a picture to Moses, showing who he was. Moses didn't have enough knowledge or understanding or comprehension of who God was. And God was making himself available and seen to Moses at the moment. God was desiring intimacy with Moses. And what happened then? Moses was afraid. He didn't know that God. He was afraid of being in his presence. He may have heard a little bit about this God. He didn't know him very well. And then, on that moment, God invites him on an adventure. God says that he wants Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. God is inviting him to do something together. You know, on dates when you go bowling, dinner, and things. God was inviting Moses to go to Egypt and rescue a people that maybe not even really wanted to be rescued that much in that way. But God was inviting him to do this together. And as Moses led the people out of Egypt, he began to see God in action. He saw signs. He saw wonders. God speaks to him time after time. He learned how to hear God's voice. He learned to recognize how God looked like. What does he do? How does he act? How does he move? He really was spending time with God and knowing him in a different way. And it's really interesting, this story, because as God was doing signs and miracles and wonders, if you read the story, you know there's some magicians in Egypt that started to emulate what God was doing. If God made the staff become a serpent to show Pharaoh, those magicians would do the same. They would try to emulate things. And even in that, God was showing Moses how to see the difference between the way God acted and the way those magicians acted. There was a refining on the way Moses could see God and speak to God and see God moving that was making him be so aware of who God was. So Moses learned God's voice and he started to recognize God's character. And then, as the story goes, you know, the people of Israel is finally released by Pharaoh. They go in this adventure and they see themselves now in the desert. And if you know the story, they spend a long time there. And in that time is when we see Moses then making himself time to spend with God. In the desert is when Moses starts to, sometimes he takes 40 days, 40 nights in God's presence. He's starting to himself then go to God. You know, we saw in the beginning, God came and showed himself to Moses. And then in this part of the story, Moses goes to spend time in God's presence. So while the people of Israel become used to the miracles and the signs, we see the people of Israel, World War I's provision and amazing miracles, the manna, the things, the shoes that never go, they start to become normal for them. Yeah, God is this way. He blesses us this way. But Moses, at the same time, was experiencing something deeper in the presence of God, going to the mountain. He separated himself to spend time with God and seek his presence. Those encounters changed Moses. They brought maturity in his leadership, and he deepened his love for God. You know, we see that during some of these moments of Moses in the presence of God, God gave to Moses the commandments. He writes down the tablets. And God says, oh, you need to rush and go down because that people, they are worshiping this false God. And Moses is the one that then speaks to God about saving the people and rescuing the people. We see parts in the story of Moses where he's the one reminding God, God, you are a compassionate God. You are loving God. He spends so much time with God now that he knows God's character. Like I said, because I spend so much time with Jason, when he tells me a story, I say, well, that wasn't much you have said that. What happened? Is everything okay? Moses started to have such an intimate relationship with God that he was talking to God in that way, like, remember you were a faithful God, you brought us here. And he then comes down the mountain, and when he sees the people, what they are doing, Moses himself becomes angry. You know, he saw God angry, but his heart was so aligned with God that when he saw what the people are doing, he himself became angry too. They were become so close. Such intimacy there. And I think what is really powerful for when we spend time in God's presence is that that impartation of God, what he reveals to us, what he shows to us, what he starts changing us, make us having the heart and the mind of God. Mark today shared about prophecy, the gift of prophecy. And prophecy is when we reveal what is in God's mind and what is in God's heart. The Apostle Paul, he says that we all should eagerly desire prophecy, the gift of prophecy. And I think this is because prophecy is a gift that needs intimacy, requires intimacy with God. For you to say what in God's mind and in God's heart, first you need to know what is in, what is here. You need to really know what is in here. You need to really understand his character, where he comes from, what he's speaking. Because our heart becomes aligned with him when we spend time in his presence. And we are also able to recognize when God is God, when he's not. Like I said, Moses then is starting to see in action those magicians doing things that are similar to God, but he knew it wasn't God. It reminds me of the story of Eve in the garden when the enemy comes and say to Eve, you know, if you eat from this apple, from this fruit, you become like God. And the truth is, guys, that God already created us in his image. God already made us similar to him. The lie there is that there was a shortcut, there's something quicker for Eve to become like God. And what makes us like God, what makes us similar to him, what makes us aligned to his mind, to his heart, is time with him, his intimacy. Time in his presence. You know, God in the garden, he'll come. Well, this the impression the Bible gives to us that he'll come in the end of the day to spend time with Adam and Eve. And that was what's making Adam and Eve become more and more and more like God. That intimacy, that time with him. You know, God not only shared with Adam and Eve likeness in that way, he also gave them authority to be like God. He said to Adam, like Adam was the one who named the animals. You know, he was sharing creativity. There's something that happens in the presence of God that we become like him. And that was God's desire from the beginning, that in intimacy with him, in being closer to him, in relationship with him, we would become like him. And today, because of sin, we really struggle in the end. Sometimes we think that is what we do, that it's going to change us. That is, if we pray more, if we do this more, if we perform more, if we try harder. The enemy always tries to offer shortcuts. We want those shortcuts to access that relationship. But God is not asking for performance. He's asking for presence. He's asking us to be at his feet. So we can't read this book as a checklist, or as a normal book. We need to let the book read us. We need to let the Spirit talk to us. We need to come in His presence with curiosity to know Him more, to know Him deeply. We don't pray as duty, but we pray for that relationship. We don't seek blessing without seeking Him. You know, God is not the bridge to what we want. He's our destination. He's where we want to get. We want to get to Him. You know, we don't want to get to the things that He can offer. And when we seek Him, our character changes. Our identity deepens. Our hearts align with His. We recognize His voice. We live led by His Spirit. Just let me see if I can open another part in Moses' story. I just need a little bit. So Exodus 33, verse 7, it says, "Now Moses took a tent and pitched it outside the camp, at a distance from the camp. He called it the tent of meeting. Anyone who wants to consult the Lord would go to the tent of meeting that was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would stand up, each one at the door of his tent, and they would watch Moses until he entered the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and remain at the entrance to the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses." We just see in the story, like Moses making more and more effort, space, to have that intimacy with God, to be with God. And then if you go a little bit more, Moses says to God in verse 13, "Please teach me your ways and I'll know you, so that I may find favor with you." In 14, he says, He replies to him, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. And then Moses says, "If your presence does not go, don't make us go up from here." And later in 18, he says, "Please let me see your glory." You know, Moses came from a position when he first met God, he was afraid, he hid his face. Now he's in front of God, knowing he can go anywhere without Him. He could do anything without God. And we see Him, God then shows His glory. Moses, one of the few that see God so close. So, so close. And next verse in 34, he makes a covenant. Because of that relationship with Moses and God and that exchange, a covenant's made. And God says in Exodus 34, 14, "Because the Lord is jealous for His reputation, you are never to bow down to another God. He's a jealous God." In this story of Moses and people of Israel, we see that jealous of God, that God wants a people of His own. He's calling these people, and not just to separate them, not just to make them sanctified, but to make a people that know Him, that know who He is. A people that not just trying to hide His face from Him, but a people that so desire to go to His presence, to be at His presence, to encounter Him. There is a Brazilian song that says about, I'm looking to Jacob because he don't know exactly what I'm saying. That thing that we want to live without fear, to go to the mountain. You know, the people of Israel were so afraid of death and God's going to kill, that he missed out the opportunity of knowing God. There's a Brazilian song that says, "I don't want to be afraid of death or anything. I want to see your glory." It's like passing everything. His glory is the best thing that we can have, more than anything that we can experience. So Moses also realized how desperate the people need God's presence. And because he loved God, he pleaded for God to remain with them. Moses' purpose became aligned with God's purpose. So now, Moses' whole life wasn't about shepherding sheep anymore. Not at all. He spent, if you read Exodus, some days he would spend the whole day trying to lead the people And then his father-in-law come like, what do you say you're doing, Moses? Like, you need to organize this in a better way. His whole life became do what God said to him on that day in the burning bush encounter. His whole purpose became, I'm going to lead these people to the land that God has promised. He learned how to obey God. And you can see it wasn't because of fear. It was because he knew who God was. And he knew he was everything that the people needed, and he needed. He so desired his presence. He knew that was his purpose now. When we spend time in God's presence, guys, we get aligned. Our hearts get aligned, and our lives change. You know, Jason and I went on a sabbatical last year to Brazil. And God has been speaking to us for a few years before we went to Brazil. And we had just a really blessed time there. And every time we sit down to talk about, both of us look at each other and said, the only reason why we went there was to be in God's presence. That was the only reason God wanted us there. We experienced things there with God that marked us and just confirmed what he wants us to do, how he wants us to live. And it may be for you that you haven't had a prophetic word. Maybe you haven't had those encounters with God where he spoke to you very clearly what to do. But the invitation is for all of us to come to his presence, for him to start to speak into our lives, what he wants us to do, how he wants us to live. Our focus shouldn't be not just in the battles that is ahead of us. And we are in a scenario of the world that is crazy, quite desperate. Things are happening around us. I'm a millennial. I'm 33 years old, and my cousin sent me a photo on Instagram saying, you know, we lived not having computers, phones, to now have computers, phones and things. We had COVID, and now maybe third world war. So what a crazy generation to be living on. They were saying, scientists were saying that we are one of the most flexible regeneration that has ever been, because we learn how to shift for so much different realities. And you know, as Christians, we can have all this chaos, everything happening around us, but when we aligned with God, when we align to what he wants to do, we'll be like Moses. I can think like Moses every time he went to Pharaoh to say, let these people go, and things will become worse and worse, and he had to face the people of Israel to say, no, not this time. Let's keep praying. You know, as we do every Sunday, let's pray for revival. Let's keep praying. God said, I don't know the timeline from when God asked Moses to go, how many times he went to Pharaoh. I don't know. I was saying to this other day, I don't know the timeline. But that took a lot from Moses. And he didn't have that deep relationship with God then. But that experience just marked his life so much that he knew he couldn't do anything without God's presence. Let it be the same for our lives. Let it be that as we are here in this world, we understand that our purpose is to know him, is to love him, is to be so close to him that our whole perspective shift of how we ought to do life change because of being such a close to him. Let's not look for shortcuts in our walk with God. Let's not chase spirituality or righteousness by simply trying harder to do the right things. You know, the Christian life is not about, yeah, I'm a Christian now and I live like this way. It's not about that at all. It's about God. It's about seeking him. We search for the Father. We walk in fellowship with Jesus. And we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Let's make space for the Holy Spirit to speak. Let our hearts be moved. No, let our tears come if they need to. Obey the voice that calls you to live out what you read. Let's engage with God. Life with God is an adventure. It's rarely still And I learned that. I learned to say yes as quickly as I can, even if it sounds crazy. Christian life won't be steady, never. We are the ones that follow the Spirit, and He moves here, we go here. If He moves there, we go there. So what it means to know God? Knowing God means living in a place of intimacy that shapes our character, that transforms our identity, and moves God from being just an idea or a symbol to someone we truly love. As I was studying for this word, I heard this guy saying, the people of Israel had God as an idol because He could change Him so quickly. He could be a serpent image. He could be a cow, goat cow. He could be anything. They weren't looking for God of Jacob, Israel. They were looking for a God. And it's so easy for us to do that. To just want, the idea. There's someone right out there. There's someone controlling everything. But we are called to actually know Him. Knowing God means recognizing His voice in the middle of a chaotic, confusing world. Knowing God means seeking His heart and mind until what matters to Him becomes what matters to us. Are we worshiping a God we don't know? Or are we worshiping a God and seeking to know Him more and more? Jesus cannot be just another symbol or idol in our lives. We are called to know Him. God is not simply the means to get things we want in life. He's not a bridge. He's our destination. So our prayer today needs to be, teach us, Lord, how to love You. Teach us how to live lives that pursue knowing You. Because when we truly know God, we will then live for Him with all our heart, our strength, our understanding. What knowing God does to us? Knowing God changes everything. It shows us that the best place we could ever be is at His feet. It reminds us that He's the greatest thing that has ever happened to us. You know, the people of Israel lived probably the biggest adventure humanity will ever live. And did they complain? Yes, they did. Did they reject the God many times? Yes, they did. Our prayer should be that we don't do the same in our lives, that we don't take for granted that we can come to this place and feel the presence of God. That in our homes, we can bow down and ask, Holy Spirit, come, fill this room, fill this place. You know, I wasn't going to share this at all, but my dad passed away in 2020 during COVID, crazy time. But I remember when we had the call, and I had the call. My mom was telling what's happening. I couldn't really be in the moment. And Jason's, I think it was like 5:30 in the morning, 6 in the morning. Jason's parents were coming. JP and Paul were coming, our friends, just to be with us and make breakfast. And I still can remember being sat and just seeing them moving the room, going to a place you were out there, and I just couldn't. And the only thing I know I needed to do is I just need everyone to go and I can kneel down and talk to God. You know, He is the only one that can truly speak to us in a way that heals us, in a way that we understand His purpose, in a way that we understand His character. And I don't know how the next month, year is going to be leaving Him this earth. You know, we have many challenges. We have personal challenges of battling sin. We have personal challenges in battling this sinful world that things that happen to us. We have battles with relationships. We have battlings that a world that's full of sin and what that reflects and how life is. We have now this sense of war knocking at our door. But we have something that's everything that we need, that is God's presence. This is what you need to learn how to access. You need to learn how to turn off the voices. You need to know how to read this book so you know Him, so you notice things that the Spirit speaks to you. I was doing a Bible verse with Ellie Mae. She got a word in Brazil about Esther. You talk about adoption today. You guys don't know my eldest Ellie Mae, she's adopted. And I've learned so much about looking after her, loving her. And she received this word from someone that doesn't know that she's adopted, about Esther. And I said, you know what? We're going to do a Bible study together in the book of Esther. And I'm doing very slowly with her. When I know she's not going to throw her eye or complain, I get the windows of opportunities. And we were reading together the other day. And it got to a part where Mordecai is like caught not bowing down to this guy. He's trying to obey. And I noticed things that I haven't noticed before. I start to like highlight my Bible. I said, Amen. I haven't noticed this before. And I went to pray for her. And I just started to have this sense of the Holy Spirit and crying and praying and declaring. And I said to her, Amen. The best thing that you can do now is just learn how to love God. You know, he spoke this word to you. Such a young age. He has something for you. Don't miss out. I said, don't miss out in knowing what he wanted to say when he gave you this word. Write it down. Write it again. And I often bring to church my books because I write it down. And it's not months later that I see, oh, this is what God was wanting to speak this whole time. Guys, I'm speaking too much. But I want to say that God loves you. The banner over his life, over your life, is love. We had a prayer and worship evening the other day, and I was looking at trying to put the girl to bed, so I wasn't in the room much. But I came to the room, and the Holy Spirit spoke very loud. My banner over you is love. He was speaking about the church. You know, I travel, live so many places, so much bigger. Leinster is so small. I went to Hereford yesterday, and I was walking like, so much people. Leinster is so small, and on Wednesday, when you were praying and worshiping, I really felt Holy Spirit said, you are not insignificant. Leinster is not insignificant. CLC Leinster is not insignificant. He comes here and meets with us on a Sunday, the same way that he meets, like we were in this massive church in Brazil. It's not about our size or how impressive we are. It's about our hearts and our desire to be in his presence. I don't know how big was this tent that Moses made to be like just outside the camp to meet with God. I don't know how big was this tent, but my time with God in my house, I always make a prayer board wherever I go. Prayer board. My tent to meet with God is maybe a book thing. I go with that, may have children running away and going, I'll be crying, I'll be praying. The house is going crazy, but I know that this is the place I need to be. In God's feet, learning from him, knowing him, letting him change me. Would you stand up with me? I want to read a last Bible verse. Psalms 27:4. This is David, another one that enjoys so much of God's presence, that he knew how to get to that place of intimacy. David says, I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. Father God, we come here this morning and we come to say that we need you, Lord. God, help us maybe in our unbelief. Help us maybe in our lack of desire. Help us to want to know you more, God, to find space. It may be a physical space, it may be a mental space, it may be emotional space to engage with you, God. Father God, I want to pray that you break the barriers this morning in our lives. God, maybe we find hard to open the Bible. Maybe we don't know how to. I pray that you bring people alongside us that can help us in this journey. Father God, I just pray that we don't miss the opportunity of knowing you, just like those two American hikers. Lost the opportunity to ask questions to the queen or know a little bit more about her. Let us not do this life here on earth, missing the opportunity that Jesus came and died for us to have. Let's have life with you. So thankful that you bless us with your presence. Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill this room now. Mark was talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I really feel we have a window of opportunity today to pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit.